Hello, Bulls Nation. Welcome to another episode of the Rebuildable Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gentile, flying solo for this special episode. You know, we're about a week away from the draft lottery, and I thought it would be a good idea to preview some stuff ahead of time. Because really, what else do we have to talk about right now? The NBA playoffs are, you know, in full effect here in the second round. Had some really intriguing matchups, and of course, you know, we as Bulls fans were sitting at home thinking about next week's lottery. So I figured this would be a good time to preview some of the scenarios that could unfold. Of course, the Bulls finish with the fourth worst record in the NBA, so they'll have a 12.5% chance of landing the number one pick. Now, because they finish with the fourth worst record, it also means that they have a scenario where they can end up with as low of a position as number eight in this year's draft. So it really wouldn't be ideal because we know that this is a pretty top-heavy draft, and really it has one giant fish, and of course that's Zion Williamson. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But after Zion, there's one guy that might have a high ceiling, and then a couple of nice fishes that could be good players, good role players going forward. One thing I wanted to bring up, though, just in regards to the whole, you know, change in the lottery odds, where this came up a lot in March, and it was around the time when the Bulls had a night where they were playing the Phoenix Suns. Of course, the Phoenix Suns are one of the bottom three teams. They finished with the second worst record in the league. And, you know, the lottery odds this year changed to where the bottom three teams, they each have a 14% chance of getting the number one pick. I remember in a game of a back-to-back where the Bulls were playing the Suns, that night the Cleveland Cavaliers won a game. And if the Bulls lost to Phoenix, it would put them about a game out of getting into the bottom three. And there was a debate. Do you rest guys with a chance to go into a full tank mode, or do you play your young guys, you play Zach LaVine, you play Lauri Markkanen, and see where it goes? And that night, they decided to play some of the key guys. Robin Lopez put in key minutes, and they ended up winning that game. And I remember I went on a rant afterwards on Twitter about it, and, you know, Bulls Nation was pretty split. I think they're still pretty split when you talk about this. But really, the way that I saw it is the chances of you finishing with a lower pick grow if you finish in a position like fourth, fifth, sixth, right? Like, those odds keep escalating. And I'll give you an exact breakdown. This is from tankathon.com, which, by the way, was a great resource throughout this whole 2019 season. If you were a Bulls fan, kind of trying to see how everything shakes out. So here's how the breakdown goes. For the number one pick, they have a 12.5% chance. We knew that already. The number two pick, 12.2%. The odds of getting the third pick are 11.9% for the Bulls. For the number four pick, it's 11.4. So even though they finish with the fourth worst record, it's an 11.4% chance of actually staying in that spot. For the number five pick, it's a 7.2% chance, so it goes down. This is where it gets really interesting, though. They have higher odds of getting the number sixth pick and the number seventh pick. The number six pick, it's 25.7% chance of landing in that spot. For the number seventh pick, 16.8%. And at number eight, it's 2.2. So that was my reasoning for wanting to get into the bottom three, because this is how it breaks down. If you finish where, you know, Phoenix and Cleveland finished, they were tied. So apologies on that. I said earlier that Phoenix finished with the second worst. So the way that I guess that happened is there was the, you know, coin flip of the decision with the tiebreaker. So Phoenix is going to be settled into a third spot. And this is how the breakdown works for them. 14 for the number one, 13.4 for the number two, 12.7 for the number three, 11.9 for the number four. Now, that's actually a breakdown that's shared by the bottom three teams. They have equal odds, one through four. So here's what's interesting, though. Phoenix has a 14.8% chance at number five, 26% chance at number six, and 7.1% chance of being number seven. Cleveland, again, same odds, one through four, as Phoenix, but they have a 27.8% chance of getting the number five pick and a 20.1% chance of getting the number six pick. So again, they don't get the number seventh pick. You know, they're going to go as low as number six. New York, by being the worst team, is only going to go as low as number 5, and that will be their greatest odds, 47.9%. So, again, the reason I bring up these numbers, if you were the Bulls, you know, it might have benefited you to try and get in that bottom three. And I think the season kind of changed right in December and January. Because if you go back to December, you know, right around that time is when the injuries really piled up. We started to see the near mutiny with Boylan in the roster. And the losses started to mount. And really, we at the same time, it was weird. We saw the star rise in Zion Williamson in college at Duke. You know, it was right around that same time we started seeing more national games from them. You really got to see more of Zion. And really, things I felt like changed then. You kind of knew that this was going to be a draft where there was going to be a game-changing player available. And why not take your swing at it? Because in this draft, you know, as we start diving into some of the possible scenarios here in a little bit, you know, what are you really getting after that? I feel like it's the steep drop-off. Right at number one with Zion Williamson, I think you're getting a game-changing player. You go to number two, it's a steep drop-off still to Ja Morant. It's a good consolation prize, but it's a steep drop-off. And then even after that, it's kind of like this other drop-off. You fall off a couple of rungs off the ladder, and you kind of have these, I want to say middling players, but you have these players that, are they really going to be high-impact guys? We don't know. I think they fall in this category where maybe their ceilings just aren't as high. And I think that's going to play a big role into how this draft unfolds. And, it, you know, where the Bulls are, I think is going to make a huge difference with their fortunes moving forward. But let's just say that the Bulls do cash in. They buy their lottery ticket, if you will. They strike gold. They get the number one pick. So adding Zion to the Bulls really does change their fortunes. Like, all the crap we give Garpax, Boylan, we can kind of shelve it for a little bit because there's an impact player coming to the Bulls. You know, Zion Williamson, he's a game-changing talent, not just with ability. The guy has charisma. The guy has marketability. Like, this is a Jerry Reinsdorf gem, in my opinion. This is a guy that is going to give them plenty of ticket sales. That's for sure. People are going to pack the United Center to go see Zion Williamson. And he is going to be a draw. He's going to be a draw across the country. When the Bulls go and travel, they already are, you know, still a big brand. But when they go to travel, people are going to be there to watch Zion Williamson play. And I think that's the kind of thing he brings to the Bulls. He brings that kind of cachet. On the court, I mean, think about it. In this positionless NBA, you're bringing a guy that probably could play the 3, the 4, and the 5. Like, if you want to set a lineup, you can put him out there at the 3. You can put him out there at the 4. You can put him out there at the 5. He's such a unique talent because at 6'7", kind of questionable, 270, 280, we're not really sure. He's got this weird-looking body, but he can get up and down the floor with ease. He has the ability to handle the ball. He can play with the ball out without the ball in his hands. And he definitely has a decent enough stroke. I think he's inconsistent probably from the outside, but it probably is going to get better as time goes on and he gets, you know, professional work. And you can probably say the same about his body. You know, the body fat might drop a little bit when he gets into the league. I think the thing that he has is he has work ethic. You can definitely see that. And as the season went on, he tried to find ways to improve his game. And that means a lot. If you're doing that in college, it usually translates well when you get to the NBA. And the other thing he has the ability to play defense. You know, you saw, he wasn't just a game changer on offense at Duke. He was a game changer on defense. And if you add that to this Bulls roster, I mean, that's pretty impressive. And I think he only is going to get better defensively over time. I think that's something that you can see. You could see the work ethic in him. You could see that he wants to get better. And I think that's going to bode well for him. And I think that kind of speaks to where he could get to. Because I think his ceiling, you know, we've heard a lot of people say, well, could he be the next LeBron James? Yeah, that's pretty high. It's pretty high praise. And being the next LeBron James isn't easy. Even if you have the ability, doesn't always mean you're going to be the next LeBron James. That's not easy. That's like saying you're going to be the next Michael Jordan. Those are few and far between. But can he be an impact player like a LeBron James? I think it's very possible. I think a lot of people would agree with that. I think there's scouts that would agree with that. There's analysts that would agree with that. There's fans that would agree with that. You know, this is the type of player that Zion Williamson can be. Is a massive impact. Now, if that's his ceiling, I mean, that's big for Chicago because if you add that with Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, Wendell Carter Jr., I think you got a pretty good perennial playoff team there. You know, that's a team that will compete in the bottom portion of the Eastern Conference playoff picture. Probably end up in the first season competing for 6 through 8. But in 2 to 3 seasons, you have the right pieces around them, the right complementary veterans who can shoot from the outside, play without the basketball. I think you got yourself a team that could be as high as a 3 or a 4 seed, depending on how the East shakes out. If it gets weaker, maybe even better. You know, you still have to contest with Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and, you know, maybe Toronto. It all depends what happens with Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, we're not really sure about Boston yet. You know, on paper, they look good, but if they lose Kyrie, are they getting better? It's possible. Are they getting worse? It's possible, too. We're just not sure. So it's very possible that if you add that piece like Zion Williamson, it can only get better. And it also gives you the flexibility to bring in other talent. You know, Zion's going to attract probably star pieces if he's a top-tier player. And it's going to be interesting. Will the Bulls, when a disgruntled star on another team wants to be traded and might want to play with Zion Williamson, you know, are they going to be willing to part with Zach LaVine or Lauri Markkanen to make it work? I think it would be very interesting to see if that does happen. And that's a good problem to have. So they could become a perennial playoff team just with that group, and then probably work their way into title contention shortly after that. And that would be a lot of fun for Bulls fans. It'd be fun to get back to postseason basketball. It'd be fun to get back to a position where, you know, we can attract more big name pieces and get to title contention again. You know, I'm one of those people, I want a winner. You know, I want to be competing for championships. But I know you can have your cake and eat it too. Have yourself a nice young team, get to the playoffs every year, put yourself in a position where at some point, maybe find a way to get that extra piece to put you over the top. It's probably the formula that happens most commonly in the NBA to build a title contending team. Just true. You try and build from the ground up, see which core pieces are your most valuable pieces, and at some point you're either looking to add via free agency or you have to make a trade where you part with one of those pieces that, you know, might make a lot of money and just isn't cutting the mustard. You know, Zach LaVine might end up being the prime candidate. Who knows? Maybe it's Lauri Markkanen. You know, we'll see. It's all going to depend on, you know, how those two also develop over time. Because, you know, if they reach their ceilings and Zion reaches a big ceiling, then, I mean, maybe you're just filling it out with complementary pieces at that point. Who knows? And the other thing, though, that I think to consider is the floor for Zion Williamson. I don't think it's a big drop-off. I don't think it's as steep as, like, you know, he becomes like a Marcus Fizer or Kenyon Martin type of guy, right? An undersized power forward that, you know, just doesn't translate to the next level. I don't think that's happening. It would be very shocking if that happened. I think a good floor, and the one that, you know, you keep hearing from other people, and it really sticks with me, is Blake Griffin. You know, a guy that's like a 20-10 guy, super athletic on the offensive side of the floor. I think, though, the only difference would be that Zion might have more of an impact defensively. Honestly, if that's what you're getting, I don't think that that's terrible either. You know, if you're getting Blake Griffin, that's the kind of player that goes number one in most drafts, just like Blake did. And I think if you're getting that and you're adding it to this core, I think that's still very valuable. You know, you would still have a perennial playoff team, and eventually that's another scenario where you can find pieces to support Zion. Because think about it like this. If you had a young Blake Griffin, like let's say in this hypothetical, it was 20-year-old Blake Griffin coming to the Bulls, or 19-year-old Blake Griffin coming to the Bulls, with the current setup you have now, it would be intriguing still. Because you would still look at it and go, okay, well, I'm adding a nice young piece who averages 20-10 in his sleep. He's a freak of an athlete. Now I just got to find the complementary pieces. And then in the next 2-3 seasons, I really look and say, which of the players in this core do I have to move to potentially get that next piece? It's the same game you would play if, you know, he hit his ceiling, but it would be a little different. You'd be trying to then really course correct and find the maybe one of the top 10 guys to put with him. But I think that's still a better scenario than where the Bulls are right now, right? Like, if you can get that, that'd be huge. So we talked a little bit, and to move on from Zion, talked about the number 2 pick. You know, I mentioned that it's a nice drop-off, pretty big drop-off from 1 to 2. You got Zion, who's the big fish. And number 2 is considered this consolation prize. And a lot of people think it's John Morant. So John Morant, a lot of the experts, a lot of the scouts, the fans, they think that's the slam dunk number two pick. I think it's going to depend. You know, if you're a team that has a point guard, if you're Cleveland, it's a good example, you end up with the number two pick, you know, you have a point guard. And if you don't trade the pick, maybe you're going with RJ Barrett, Jared Culver. You know, I'm just throwing names out there. Maybe it's somebody else, though, at that point. So it's not a full slam dunk, but if you're a team that needs a point guard, you're probably going with John Morant. Now, the comparison we keep hearing with John Morant is that we keep hearing that he's Russell Westbrook. You know, that's the ceiling, is Russell Westbrook. And that's an awesome ceiling. You see the similarities, the court vision, the speed, the explosiveness to the basket. You know, has a game that can be molded over time. Definitely, there's parallels there. But what's the floor? I can't answer that. I don't know what the floor is for him. You know, I don't think it's campaign. A lot of people want to use that because he's from Murray State, plays against smaller competition. I don't know if I want to go there. I mean, that's pretty harsh criticism. I think his court vision and passing ability alone are 10 times better than whatever campaign could do. And I certainly think he's much more explosive than campaign. But what's the floor? You know, and the one thing that I keep thinking of is, what if the floor is like a Chris Dunn? Now, I think Chris Dunn and John Morant are a little different on the court. But I mean, in terms of production, you know, what if you're getting Chris Dunn-like numbers? You're not getting, you know, a top-tier point guard. Like, you're just getting good enough to play in the league. I mean, that's pretty risky for the number two pick. You know, so it's an interesting test case if you're at the number two spot. You're going to see what a GM is like. Are they more of a maverick, willing to, you know, roll the dice on a guy with a lot more potential? Or are they going to go with more of a sure bet? Because think about this. RJ Barrett's a really good example of a guy that might be steady in the NBA, right? RJ Barrett's the prototypical wing. You look at him, 6'7", 6'8", kind of a jack of all trades, right? Decent passer, decent mid-range game, okay from the outside, a little up and down, more streaky, can get to the basket. He's a guy that you could see in the NBA averaging probably 15, 16 points a game, 5 rebounds, maybe 3, 4, 5 assists a game, plays solid on the defensive end, good soldier, really good role player, maybe has a couple of seasons where he flirts with an all-star appearance, gets to an all-star game because he, you know, averages 18, 19, 20 points, just goes off one year. You could see that with RJ Barrett. In fact, I love the comparison that it's made on the Waddle and Sylvie show a lot on ESPN 1000. Mark Silverman says that he reminds him a lot of like a Jalen Rose. And I could see it. Like, Jalen Rose was the same way. Jack of all trades. Really solid. But not an all-star. Not a perennial all-star, I should say. You know, not a guy that is a game changer. But really solid. And that's what I could definitely see from RJ Barrett. So, if you're a GM and you're kind of hesitant because you're not sure what that floor is for John Morant, I could see a scenario where somebody might say, I'll take RJ Barrett. I think for the Bulls, though, knowing John Paxson, knowing the scenario right now the Bulls are in with a need at point guard, I think it's going to be John Morant if they're at the number two spot. I think in that case, they would roll the dice looking at the potential of getting a guy that could be in the Russell Westbrook type class. You know, and like another good comparison, you know, we hear Russell Westbrook, but the small school comparison would be like a Damian Lillard. And you're starting to see that bear fruit this postseason. But, you know, Damian Lillard came from a small school as well. Had a, you know, an impressive tournament, really drew a lot of people's attention. And, you know, he ended up developing into a really good point guard. I mean, he's an all-star caliber point guard. And that's, you know, maybe the path that John Morant takes. I hope so. If the Bulls end up with the number two pick and they take him, I hope he does. I mean, that would really, really change the Bulls' fortunes. You know, you get a perennial all-star at point guard, it makes getting the rest of the team figured out a little bit easier. It's one of the hardest positions right now in the NBA to really nail down. You know, the Bulls are seeing that. Right after you had MVP caliber play from Derrick Rose, you had your point guard position solved. And since then, since his injury, it's been really hard to find that next point guard. They were hoping Chris Dunn could be that, and it doesn't look like it. So now, what happens, though, when you start getting into that territory of, you know, maybe like 3, 4, 5? It's going to be interesting. You know, the name that keeps getting thrown out a lot is Darius Garland. course, Darius Garland had an interesting season at Vanderbilt before his injury. I think a lot of people would tell you that, you know, he was trending upward, one of the better sharp shooting guards in college. And he was definitely somebody that you saw who was versatile enough to play the point guard spot and play a little bit off the ball. And I think that makes him an intriguing option for the Bulls, because you have Zach LaVine, who could be a bit ball dominant. And I could definitely see a scenario where those two might complement each other a lot better than, you know, Dunn and LaVine complement each other right now. Well, they don't complement each other at all. But if you add Garland, I think that would be an interesting option. You know, Garland's star rose, I almost feel like, after the tournament a little bit. Because even though you didn't see him play, hear me out, I feel like RJ Barrett and Jared Culver, who maybe would have been considered as a 3 or a 4 pick, you know, either one of those guys, I feel like because of the way that their tournaments ended, Darius Garland almost kind of rose up because of that. Because with Barrett, you know, there was a couple of those moments where he's trying to play hero ball, or he got ice cold from the field. You remember his last game? You know, Jared Culver had a rough Final Four and national championship game, you know, and struggled shooting from the field. And I think that, you know, could have hindered maybe where initially you would have placed them in a draft. I think that it's very possible that if the Bulls are there at number 3, it wouldn't shock me if they say, you know, let's roll with Darius Garland. Like, let's not even bother trading down. Let's take him now. Because I have a feeling his stock is going to rise when we get to the combines and we start getting to the workouts. It wouldn't shock me at all if you start seeing more mock drafts where he's number 3, number 4. You know, it's, again, does RJ Barrett fit the Bulls? I mean, at the wing spot right now, you have Otto Porter, who's still kind of young, but he's got 2 years left on his deal. And you still have Chandler Hutchinson. Now, again, low pick. It's not like he's costing you a ton of money to be on the roster. He's probably a movable guy at some point. But, you know, you have an option there. You have Denzel Valentine coming back and can play some minutes at the 3 or the 2. I don't know. I mean, you could bring in RJ Barrett if you do think that's the best player available, but I think Garland fills the need a little bit more and, you know, does have the talent. He definitely can shoot. I mean, he was shooting, I know it was 5 games, but, you know, he was shooting close to 50% from the field. You know, 47.8% three-point shooter in 5 games. You know, and he has that ability. Like, that was known coming into you know, his first collegiate season. Now, do you worry about the injury a little bit? Maybe, but, you know, we haven't heard anything like it's a debilitating injury or anything. So unless we hear that or the medicals come out that, oof, hey, it's like a Michael Porter situation, then yeah, I wouldn't worry. Yeah, I'm intrigued by that option. If the Bulls are sitting there at 3, maybe 4, if there's a team, you know, at the 3 spot that already has a point guard, then I'm all for getting Darius Garland if they're in that spot. Now, this is where it gets interesting. If the Bulls are sitting in that range we were talking about, sort of the no man's land, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, do you pick the best player available, or do you consider shopping the pick? Do you consider just moving down and saying, to hell with this? Like, is there a player here that's worth taking that's going to really change our fortunes, or, you know, really fits what we need? Or do you say, you know what, if these guys are just role players, if Jared Culver is a role player, you know, if RJ Barrett's just going to be another, you know, role player on our roster, if, you know, Rui Hachimura is a role player, DeAndre Hunter is a role player, you know, maybe then you're thinking, why not just trade down? You know, maybe I get, you know, a Nasir Little or Cam Reddish later on in the draft. Now, maybe I can convince somebody to take one of my bad contracts. You know, like, a scenario maybe is, do you consider taking your pick at 6, 7, or 8, attach, I know it's hard to think, but attach Cristiano Felicio to it, move down to get a pick lower, and see what you can do. You rid yourself, you know, close to $9 million, and you end up just picking later. It's not a bad thought. It's not a bad thought. I know some Bulls fans have brought up, and I've had a couple people on the podcast, like, you know, Derek Briscoe from Shy Sports Nation, Gary Calzone from the Bully Pulpit Podcast. They both brought up the idea of, like, taking Chris Dunn to try to move up. But I think the truth is no team ahead of the Bulls really probably want Chris Dunn. I don't know if they'd give you a higher pick for Chris Dunn and your pick. So like if you're picking number, say the Bulls were picking 5 or 6 in this scenario, and they wanted to move up to 4 or 3, I don't think a team would take that deal because they're just getting Chris Dunn with it. You know, to me, it doesn't seem like a win-win for them if you're the team that's taking him. I mean, maybe you have such a point guard need, or like you want a backup point guard on your team, you're like, all right, I'll take Chris Dunn. But I don't know if that's actually something that would be attractive to any team. One of the discussions I had with, I think the first podcast with Jordan Malley from Locked On Bulls, I asked him, what's Chris Dunn's value? What do you think it is? And we both agreed, actually, that it might be like a Justin Holiday thing where you might be lucky to get 2 second-round picks for them. Or maybe you get a heavily protected first or back end of the draft first, you know, something below 20. I don't know if you're getting a lot for him. I'd be surprised. I really would. So maybe the Bulls, if they're in that spot, might just consider trading down. I'll bring up one crazy scenario just before I wrap this up. Brought up on podcast a couple weeks ago. I was doing another one where I was flying solo on a Friday night because I have nothing better to do. You know, most people on a Friday night are going out. I decide, I'm going to podcast. I brought up the rumor with Drew Holiday. You know, there was a report that came out that the Pelicans are looking to shop him as part of their full rebuilding strategy. And a couple of teams were brought up. One of the teams that was mentioned was the Bulls as a possible landing spot, that there might be some interest there. And I thought about this. You know, at the time I said, and I still agree that I don't know if there's any value given, you know, that he's owed an excess of $25 million. You know, he's got 2 years left on his deal, or 2 or 3 years left on his deal. And I just thought, it's not worth it. You know, it, really for what he is and the point he's at in his career, I don't really see the value. But if the Bulls are really looking at a very short-term outlook, where they just want to have a really competitive team to get to the playoffs next year, or try to get to the playoffs next year, and it would take a big leap to do that. But I could see a scenario maybe where if they're picking 6, 7, or 8, and New Orleans is probably going to be positioned somewhere around there too, what if there's a scenario where the Bulls say, New Orleans, we're going to give you our pick, and we'll package some contracts together. I don't know how you would make it work. You know, maybe you'd have to package quite a bit. You know, so think about where you're picking at 6, 7, or 8. You know, it's a pick that might get close to $3 million a season. So if you think about that, that's not going to match, you know, Holiday's being paid in excess of 25. Maybe you'd have to put in, you know, Felicio. You know, I'm trying to think of a guy that might be worth 10. Maybe like Valentine, Dunn. I don't know. You'd have to really come up with a creative package to do it. But I was thinking about that. Like, that might be a scenario where you do trade a draft pick. If you're just really not interested in anybody outside of the top 5, you say, you know what, the hell with it. We'll go get a veteran. We'll bring in Holiday, be the point guard for the next 2-3 seasons. And then kind of just play this by ear. I could see the Bulls doing something like that. Would I really like it? Not really. But I could see the Bulls doing something like that to just get some short-term fix to try and be as competitive as possible to get into the playoffs. I could definitely see it. It seems like a Gar-Pax move. I wouldn't support it, though. And again, it would take some creativity because you'd have to find ways to bundle a lot of salary together. I don't think they would just be like, you know, here's Otto Porter and a draft pick, especially after what they did at the deadline. I think they really want to see how Otto Porter fits with this group. But it will be interesting to see where everything shapes out. I'll tell you this. We're definitely going to be podcasting after the lottery. You know, as we get closer to the draft and we start hearing more rumblings, we're definitely going to have some more podcasts talking about the draft and talking about the possibilities of who could be coming to the Bulls. If they do end up with the number one pick, I'm going to jump on probably immediately and have a podcast just talking about Zion Williamson. So, you know, there's something to look forward to if they get the number one pick. You can listen to another podcast with me, you know, just me rambling about Zion Williamson for a good 20 minutes. But just a couple other things too, as a wrap up here. We're going to be having some guests on after the draft lottery as well to lay out rebuilding plans. So the rebuilding conversation is going to change a little bit because we'll know where they're picking. So it'll be a little bit easier to actually map out a real rebuild plan instead of bringing up so many hypotheticals about what if they're picking here, what if they're picking here, what if they're picking here. We'll actually know, and we'll know what players fall in that range. Also, We're going to have an episode on Monday. I will announce the guest this weekend because I have the recording with that guest set up. And I have a policy. I'm only going to tell you the guest once I'm done recording that show. But we should have a show dropping on Monday in the morning. And I will get the information out about that guest on Saturday. So be on the lookout for that. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at rebuild_a_bull. And also, feel free to visit our website, rebuildable.com. We have all the latest episodes there. Of course, you can find all of our latest episodes, too, on all the major places that carry podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. If you're old school, we're on TuneIn as well. I got a couple of family members that still use TuneIn, but hey, you know, I remember I used to use it back in the day. I just don't think it's the love it used to, but I gave it love. I decided to put the podcast up there too. So if you want to catch up on some of the older episodes, feel free. We've had Jordan Maley on from Locked On Bulls, had C Red Friend on from Chicago Bullseye and frequent caller of the Waddle and Sylvie Show on ESPN 1000. Had John Sabine from Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago. Had Derek Briscoe from the Chicago Hot Sauce Podcast. And of course, Gary Calzone from the Bully Pulpit. And we're going to have many more good guests coming up. And I can't wait to tell you more about that in the coming weeks. So go Bulls, get the number one pick, bring home Zion, baby. Thank you for listening to the Rebuildable Podcast. Be sure to check out more episodes on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on rebuildable.com.